Hello and welcome back to another episode of Slice and Dice, the e-commerce podcast by us, the team here at ClickSlice. And once again, we are joined by
Richard, and I head up the Google Ads team here, and yes, great to be back on a pod.
Yeah, and for those of you who've watched our previous episodes, you probably will already know who Richard is. So in this episode, what we want to be touching on and discussing is how brands can improve the targeting within the Google Ads account. So the very first question I have is a question I get asked all the time, literally on a monthly basis, is what are the key options available for brands to optimize within the Google Ads account? Because let's be honest, there's so many different levers you can pull and different buttons and drop down menus and options. It can be a little bit overwhelming.
So yeah, like you say, there are so many different types of or targeting options, should I say, within Google Ads that we don't have enough time to cover all of them now, but I'll just touch on the main ones. And you probably remember from previous episodes, we've kept our discussion based mainly around search, shopping, and performance max campaigns. And I'd say search campaigns are the campaign type where there's still most manual target setting, or targeting setting rather. Most people think of keywords when they think of Google Ads, because that's how it all started, yeah, with AdWords, and is still a huge part of Google Ads, although its role is diminishing over time. But for search ads, it's still, yeah, very relevant. And that's your starting point, really, like telling Google what are the search terms that are most likely relevant to people wanting to find your products. Second to that, I would say it still requires advertisers to manually set parameters is with geographic targeting. Obviously, that's quite relevant to e-com businesses, because it's not that common that you want to be shipping internationally. Whether you're running performance max, shopping, or search campaigns, you're still going to want to be very careful to make sure that you are only targeting a geographical region that you can service. And then there are so many other types of targeting based on, like, device types or demographics.
It's crazy, right? There's just hundreds
out there. Go on and on and on. And most of it now, even with search, especially if you have an automated bidding strategy, Google's taking care of, like, device targeting. It's bidding differently according to what device you're on, based on its own learnings rather than human input. If you're using an automated bidding strategy, things like demographics don't have a lot of relevance, or as much relevance, say, for search advertising, but do come into play more perhaps with shopping ads. But the issue with relying or being too strict with demographic targeting, and when we say demographic targeting, we're talking about, like, age, have, like, household incomes, one of the things like that, is that that's those kind of attributes of the searcher aren't always known by Google if they're not logged into a Google account or haven't accurately entered that data information when creating their account.
Let's be honest, you always fast track the sign up process. Yeah. Name John. Oh no, John Josh. I mean,
yeah. So if you're telling Google, like, only show to people that are between this age, and it's only got that data on a relatively small portion of users, then you're limiting your reach quite a lot. With performance max, you're kind of giving more control over demographics to Google to kind of figure all of that out without you being too stringent with your parameters. So yeah, it's kind of has a slightly diminished role with search and shopping, but yeah, for performance max, because it's more display based, it does come into the equation more, but they take care of the actual nitty-gritty of who to target.
Wow, that was a very, very detailed answer. I don't think people have any follow-up questions on that, because you kind of
great. Well, my job here is done.
Yeah, bye, see you later. Job done. Next podcast. No, awesome. So jokes aside, if you have any questions, of course, put them in the comments below and we'll get back to that. So with that being said, what role does keyword targeting play in Google Ads right now in 2024?
honestly, a diminished one. Yeah, it's not what it used to be. Everything used to be around based around keywords, and gradually, year by year, being really specific and targeted with your keywords is becoming less and less important. And the match types, the definitions for the different match types, like broad phrase and exact match, are changing and expanding bit by bit, much to the annoyance of lots of advertisers, myself included. But I'm sure, there's reason for it, and it does fit in with Google's bigger picture of making things more automated and relying more on their algorithms and learning, which, if managed properly, does perform really well. So, yeah, I think we shouldn't get too disheartened about the diminishing control we have over keyword targeting. But, yeah, with shopping ads, you don't have the option to target by keywords at all. Everything's based around the product titles and the product categories. And then with PMax, it does give you the option to enter what they actually call it search terms rather than keywords. So it's a subtle but significant difference, I would say. You can enter search terms for PMax. With all three campaign types, the emphasis now with keywords is actually the negative keywords. So the onus across all of Google's networks and campaign types over time is shifting more away from telling Google what you do want to target and actually telling it what you don't want to target. And Google's doing the what you do want to target bit for you really now, which hasn't always been the case. They're basically putting the onus on the advertiser to fill in the other side of the equation, is what don't you want us to show your ads for?
Awesome. So a lot happening with keywords in 2024, and I suspect it will be the same trend for 2025, 6, 7,
I think it's just going to continue. This trend started probably 5 years ago and is gradually becoming more and more of a kind of issue. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense. So that being said then, like, what are some targeting techniques that brands can use to get in front of customers that are ready to make a purchase? Because, you know, all the e-com brands watching this podcast, they want to be seen by customers who want the products they sell.
Yeah, so for advertisers who are spending some of their budget on search campaigns, which still can make sense in many situations, so it's not completely redundant. And if you want to capture people that have the highest intent and ready to buy, then obviously, if you use keywords that use words like buy or shopping, then naturally you expect those searches to be kind of higher intent and more kind of ready to purchase than somebody who might just be searching a product name. Because if you're just searching a product name, although the overwhelming majority of sales will come through people just searching a product name, and that you can't rely on people searching including buy or store or price, you are exposing yourself to people maybe looking for information about that product, or I don't know, looking at the warranty it might have, or the instruction manual, or something like that. If it's a piece of technology, like a hardware or something. So, yeah, I think there are ways that you can use negative keywords to make sure that you're weeding out the lower intent searches. So, an example would be just like I mentioned, if you put a negative keyword for manual, if you're selling computer equipment and you put the word manual or instructions, then you're going to weed out a lot of irrelevant searches. Yeah. Similarly, you want to put negative keywords for anything that alludes to someone who's seeking information. So, words like where's probably a reasonable keyword to leave in there, because you might have a physical store, but something like how or why, those two questions are always good to have as negative for e-com brands.
Agreed. So would you say it's fair to say that negative keywords are just as important, if not more important, than the actual keyword targeting?
in Google Ads now in 2024, I would say it's more, I spend more time working on negative keyword lists than I do on regular keyword lists, for sure.
When you said that, I'm just thinking of a client, one of our clients that emails you every week, new negative keywords. And it's like, yeah, the campaign is getting better and better each week. We're refining, we're optimizing, and it's getting better results. So yeah, I think that, again, is just more evidence just how important negative keywords are. And there's a lot of agencies out there that don't believe in negative keywords, that they believe if you just have exact match keywords, you don't really need to add negative. But I think there's always room to add negative keywords where possible, just to make sure you have full control of the account. So let's pivot our focus now and focus primarily on Google Shopping. What strategies can be employed to improve targeting for Google Shopping campaigns?
Yeah, so as I've mentioned in my last answer about keywords not being an option with shopping campaigns, in place of keywords, Google's really looking at your product titles and your descriptions, and in a way treating those like keywords. So that means it's really important to make sure that your product titles and descriptions are really kind of, like it says on the tin, descriptive of the product that you're trying to sell, because Google's looking at that data to determine who is looking for that product. So you want to make sure that you've got the core attributes of your product in your product title, and try to avoid kind of using words that perhaps a bit more flowery is not the right word, but
we'll take it.
You want to be quite precise and specific. So descriptive, like if it's something's like black, then say that it's black in the title. If it's say the size of the if we're talking clothing now, you'd mention the size. Or anything, if you were maybe you're selling sofas, I'm sat on a sofa, why not go with that example? If it's a two-piece suite, make sure you mention very clearly two-piece suite. Same with three-piece suite, armchair, don't just put sofa. You want to make sure your product titles reflect how people search, and people search with kind of specific attributes of products, or they also search with brand names, or the product, if the product has a name itself that people are familiar with, then use that. But if you're perhaps a newer brand, or you're selling products that aren't particularly well established, don't fall into the trap of thinking that everybody knows the actual branded name of your product, because often they don't, unless you're Nike or other huge companies. Like, I would steer clear of using your brand names in the product title and focus more on the attributes.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I think a lot of brands, when they first come into the space and want to market, they kind of think the brand's bigger than it really is. And although you're picking your world to the rest of the world who don't know you exist, it's not really valuable putting your brand name in there. If anything, it probably creates more questions.
Yeah. We obviously have to be very delicate with our clients when we explain this. But
of course. And we always have the best intentions. So if we don't believe it's the best thing to do, we advise the client, we do not recommend this. And they always listen to us, right? Because it's a collaborative partnership.
Always. I put an asterisk over there. But
90% of the time they listen to us.
The ones that don't fail. So
exactly. There you go. More of the story. Just listen to what we say and you'll make more money. Like, that is pretty much facts, I should say. Don't quote me on that. So cool. That was very, very effective strategies for sure. So going back to a different type of option and targeting in Google Ads, predominantly device targeting is what I'm talking about. What are some effective ways to use device targeting in Google Ads campaigns?
Yeah, I think it's useful that you've asked this question, because people do still have this question, and they ask it of us in onboarding calls. And keywords, it has a much more diminished role than it used to a few years ago. The more and more Google encourages advertisers, and I think mostly rightly so, towards automated bidding strategies, the less advertisers have to worry about making device-based optimizations or specifically targeting certain device types. If Google knows where your on what devices your ads perform best or what devices people are most likely to purchase your product. Maybe if you're selling, cars, you're less likely to buy a car on your mobile than something that's £10 that you might just do while waiting for a train or whatever. So yeah, Google understands all of this over time and will take care of device targeting for you. It's only really when you're taking a very manual approach and using a manual CPC bidding, which generally we don't advise. There are some exceptions, perhaps when you're if you're starting a search campaign and you're like have no historical data in your account at all, it can be advisable to use a manual bidding strategy just in the very early stages, just to collect some data. And in those situations, you might want to apply some what we call bid adjustments, which is where you're kind of bidding a different level for different devices. But after that, as soon as you switch over to automated bidding, yeah, Google's going to take care of it and do a better job typically than humans can.
Awesome. No, good. I think, would you say it's fair to say that a lot of brands go wrong by starting with automated bidding?
Yes. Google encourages advertisers in the kind of setup flow and to adopt all of its automation features, really. And it will have lots of like hidden drop-down menus that are not immediately obvious, or they make fantastic use of ghost buttons, and then I put like a big kind of blue button that's really obvious to the option that they want you to and say recommended next to it,
of course.
And then a ghost button next to it for the alternative option. But whenever I see the word recommended by Google, that's when I have the biggest kind of question mark over, is that something that I want to? And it's not to say that they're not often the best option, but it always just, sounds the alarm bell for me and makes me think, okay, that's a configuration that I want to make sure I fully understand before accepting it. And because we've been doing this for so long, I know them all now. But for a new advertiser, it's very easy to get tripped up with those sneaky tricks, we'll call them.
Yeah, I think that's something to highlight. Richard's been doing Google Ads for like 19 years.
Yeah, 19 years.
Yeah, that's a lot of experience, right? So when an e-com brand owner says, I'm going to run the Google Ads myself, and they set up the campaign and recommend my optimization scores, 10%, I need to do this, do that, and they're doing all these clicks and they think they're doing a good job. All you're doing is basically making Google more money, because that's Google's job, right? To get you to spend as much money in your ad account as possible. Just be very, very wary. And it's also why I recommend that if you don't know what you're doing, it is best to outsource it to even a freelancer. It doesn't have to be an agency, just someone that knows a way around a Google Ads account, because there's updates all the time as well. Like Google Ads now compared to 5 years ago, dashboard's completely different. Completely different interface.
Even 5 months ago. They're consistently changing things. So yeah, it's just a case, because we're in the account every day, we're kind of on top of all their changes, and you sort of don't notice them as much when it's just iterations. But if you step away from Google Ads for a few years and then come back to it, it's like a completely different beast.
I know, because I always have a course on Google Ads on Udemy, and I made it in 2021.
That a plug?
No, this is not a plug, because it's actually not up to date at the moment. But I get a lot of messages every week like, that button that you put there is no longer there. Where is the keywords triggering? So I have to keep doing updates. And I'm like, where has it gone? And it's why we just leave it to Richard. He's obviously our expert at the agency. So yeah, that brings this one to an end. That was quite interesting, quite fun. I enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I think, this is the most kind of relevant to like entry level Google Ads. Like, so people just starting out, like this is the topic that's at the forefront of their mind. Like, what am I targeting? Options available to me? How do I reach customers? Which is understandable, because that's what they want to do with Google Ads. So yeah, these are always the first questions we get asked by people. So it's good that we've just knocked them all out in one episode.
Also, I hope you guys enjoyed that, got a lot of value from it, and hopefully you now know how to improve your Google Ads targeting. If you still have any questions, or maybe you have a Google Ads account and you're currently running at the moment yourself, you're spending quite a bit of money but you're not getting the results you would like, and you're interested in potentially Richard taking over and running the account for you, do get in touch. You can book a free discovery call with us using the link below in the description. Just an FYI, we do have our minimum fees, but you can find that on the website and we'll put it in the description as well. But again, we have a lot of experience and we're very confident we can help grow a lot of brands. So thanks for watching and I'll see you in the next one.
Yeah, hope to hear from you soon.